T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Look, I think the best phrase is simple. It ain't working.
The Mark Reardon Show.
All of this woke world that we're living in right now is not working.
Why are you guys bullying me?
Mark Reardon.
See, presidents can't do much.
I'm done. Do what you want. Pull the plug.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Oh my goodness. I feel like it's a brand new week, mainly because it's a brand new week and I feel good about that. But you know, Sue Thomas is back in the chair this afternoon after a week off, actually more than a week off, because your last day, I think, was a week ago Thursday, wasn't it? You
week
were off
and
on
a
that
day.
Friday.
Yeah.
Right. So then I'm thinking, well, because I always bitch when things are different, you know that. And
yes.
We didn't have you for Sue's news. We were trying to plug the holes on that. And then, as you remember, I was going to the Kentucky Derby, as I take you back 10 days ago. And I think I texted you on Monday or Tuesday, like, you're not the only one that's out this week.
Well, yeah, because I sent you a text and said, we were obsessed with the Derby, watched the entire 5 hours of coverage, we're looking for you. How was it? And you said, well, it was great until I got home.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even great until I got home. It sucked the race itself, because I didn't have any money on that horse. But yeah, I got out of there right away, and I make it home by 10:45 that night, on that Saturday night. And then I woke up on Sunday morning with a fever. It was like 3 a.m., and I'm freezing cold, and I'm uncomfortable, and I thought, uh-oh. And at that point, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. You know, I've been certainly sick without COVID in the last couple of years, but it was one of those things that kept me out of work most days last week. I was here on Thursday, but that felt kind of weird, just because I knew I was gone on Friday because of my son's graduation. So it literally was sort of the lost week, and I feel like it's good that I got behind it, and apologize to the audience, but we're all back and we're on track. But it wasn't a fun week. And I wasn't, you know, I did address this a little bit on Thursday. It wasn't like I was really, really sick. I've been, even in the last couple of years, with a couple of viruses that I've had where I thought it was COVID, more ill. I even said this to you. I felt more run down by the vaccine a year ago. The first Moderna shot really knocked me down, but that was pretty temporary. It was like an 8-hour thing, and then I started feeling better. On this, it was Mother's Day morning, then I didn't feel very good, and I didn't feel good again. And then Monday, I even kind of lulled into thinking I was feeling better, and I wasn't. But it was just basically a fever. You know, I'm on my bed, I feel congested. Same thing that we're hearing from a lot of people who have mild cases. Now, we, as you know, because you get the emails, we had several cases that were running through the building. So this was not necessarily coincidental, because there were people in the building that were getting it. I had never had COVID, and now I guess I have.
How was the graduation with Mizzou?
Well, that's another kind of a lengthy story, because that I ended up, you want to know the truth? The truth is I did not end up going on Friday. There were some political things that were going on there. Look, my son and my ex-wife's dad is still alive. He's very, you know, he's in his 90s now, so we were trying to be careful there. And we got down to the situation where it was either I drive in and I sort of wave from afar and I see something, or they had a great streaming version of it. So I can show you this video. It's actually pretty interesting. I sat in my basement and I watched it. They had a great stream of it from the University of Missouri. And I put my iPad on a bar chair behind my couch. And then I just started shooting the TV. So with the iPad, I have video. It looks like I just kind of took a screen capture from the ceremony itself. The quality is so good.
That's great.
And
it was,
I sent that to Aiden and to my ex-wife, and they both had the same response. They're like, look, looks like you had the best seat in the house. So I think I don't feel terrible, and my son's
like
coming in this weekend. Yeah, but that, it just, it was frustrating just because the whole week got blown up in a way that I did not anticipate. And then with the COVID stuff, and I'm just going to tell you, As I went through this on Sunday, my instinct was, well, I don't want to take a test because if I take a test, then I'm going to be locked into these protocols and everything. But, you know, then I thought, well, we want to be safe. We want to do the right thing. So I took the test because my wife forced me to take the test. It was the government test on that Sunday afternoon, found out that it was COVID positive. And then at that point, you sort of have to tell the bosses, hey, I'm out until this point because this is positive. And that's what it was, and I was allowed to come back. You know who filled in? I don't know if you know this. It was Scott Jennings and Joe Arnold took over on Tuesday and Wednesday, did a great job.
Did they? I'll have to go back and listen to that. That's really interesting.
And then Brad was here, I think, on Monday. He was already going to be here on Friday just because of the graduation. So now we are locked and loaded. I feel like we can kind of settle back. It's never a really good feeling, even after you've been off unintentionally for a couple of days and you kind of get back into the swing of things. You're off your rhythm and everything. So yeah. I didn't like last week very much, and I did not like not being on the air and missing this because there were so many things that were happening, you know, in the news. And unfortunately, one of those things happened in Buffalo over the weekend. Is I've tried my best to sort of stay away from a lot of the news when I'm out. I hope you did that when you were on vacation.
I surely did.
Did you have a good time? Was it a good trip?
So great, Mark. Beach, and it wasn't very populated, and it was this kind of weather.
So it wasn't humid.
It's
it was like
Florida
weather,
right? Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yeah. We had
really
Florida
great.
Weather. That's the irony. We had Florida weather yes. here when you were down there because our dew points were in the 70s, like, you know, 73, 74. Florida's like when it's in the thick of summer. You're like in the 80s,
brutal.
82, 83.
This
with
is as late as I will go.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
That's probably a good idea. Like, this still is considered, like, in season. And then when I go, because I'm going down to Captiva.
And I get it. People have
July.
To go when the kids are off,
right?
Right. I get it.
But it's hot and sticky.
It's really.
Yeah, it's not the best time to be there. Well, look, we're back. We got a lot of stuff coming up here this afternoon. Let me just preview a couple of things while I have the opportunity. Josh Hammer, who is the opinion editor at Newsweek, wrote a great piece on the abortion decision. He doesn't think it goes far enough, though. I think that's going to be interesting. Andy Puzder is back with us, the former CEO of CKE Restaurants. We'll talk to him about inflation. Cusimano is here. Did you see Albert pitching last night?
How awesome was that?
The
I did not
was
see
that
it
about?
Last night. I just saw the stuff, the video today. I love it. He was having so much fun.
So I was watching the game, but, you know, it was a big blowout. The Cardinals were winning. I don't even know what the score was in the third or fourth inning. It might have been 8-9-0. So then we turned it off because it wasn't that interesting. And right when I was popping back in and out, and I think that I had heard that the Giants had run out of pitchers, so they were going to put a position player in.
Right.
And so then we turn it off, and then we get this alert, and Becky says, Albert's going to be pitching for the Cardinals. I'm like, what? Why would we run out of pitchers? And I still don't know if I've completely figured it out. I think it was just, hey, let's do this because we can have a little fun with it. And
exactly,
John Rooney with the call.
And Ricky Horton, the Cardinal pitcher in the ninth inning, is Albert Pujols. Everybody is on their feet here. Albert is going to pitch the ninth with the Cardinals leading by 13. His pitch is high, ball one. And boom.
The fans didn't like that call.
Fans. What a thrill this is for the fans here. And the next one, ball two, low and away.
All right, so he did give up this.
Pitch number 20 coming up for Albert Pujols. That's right. Albert Pujols, a swing and a high fly ball, deep right field. And back at the wall, and Carlson watches it fly out for a home run.
Yeah, and then there was another one.
There's Pujols. A swing and a high fly, deep left field. And Dickerson watches that fly out for a home run for Joey Bart. That's his fourth of the year.
You know, this was all fun and games and everything, but there was a point, and luckily we didn't get to it, because then after that, this happened.
The pitch, ground ball left side, Donovan to his left, he has it, and throws out Wade for a Redbird winner.
You know, I wonder if there was going to be a point, though, because there didn't seem.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
To be, I think this is what happened. We'll talk with Frank about this a little later this afternoon. It didn't seem to be the need to put anyone in there and, you know, get an arm tired that didn't need to be tired when Albert can go in and just have
that's exactly what
a little
it is.
Fun. But, you know, you start hitting home runs and then the score is 13-5 and then it was, you know, let's say it's 13-9. At one point you say, okay, let's put the bullpen in. But we didn't have to worry about that last night.
And I heard the story that they just walked in and said, who wants to fill in and pitch? Who wants to do it? And Albert said, I'll do it.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. And, you know, I think it was Brad said this as we were kind of coming into the building, that the position players that have had 600 or more home runs and also pitch would be Babe Ruth and Albert Pujols.
Oh, that's awesome.
If that's, I guess that would be accurate probably.
Probably.
Right? Yeah. And a nice win for the Redbirds, and they've been postponed in New York, so there will not be a game tonight against the Mets. They will play, it's my understanding, a doubleheader tomorrow, which is still coming together. Sue, I do have to address what happened over the weekend in Buffalo, but I also want to talk about some things around here. This is, as I don't follow the news as closely as I do when I'm working, I just saw bits and pieces over the weekend as I opened up Twitter, and then at one point I think my wife said to me, did you hear what happened in Buffalo at like a grocery store in the middle of the day? No, there's all these people that are shot and killed. And this one, you know, I've advocated and I still would advocate for taking a wait-and-see approach when it comes to all the details that come out of these things. I'm not going to mention this, you know, this shooter's name because I never like to give attention. It does seem that we have a pretty good indication that this was racially motivated and that these people were targeted. And it's horrifying to think that you cannot go to the grocery store in Buffalo, New York, or somewhere else and not have to fear for your life. I can't imagine.
Well, it's senseless.
It's completely senseless. But you know what else is senseless? Now, we'll talk about Buffalo here a little bit as we move along this afternoon, but I want to talk about some of the things that are happening right here, because this is not from, you know, Ukraine, right? That is from right here in St. Louis. That's gunfire overnight. We had 5 people who were killed between 4 Saturday afternoon and 9 p.m. on Sunday evening. So just basically in a, you know, 30-hour stretch, you had 5 people that died in separate incidents here in St. Louis. 16-year-old Kira Jeffrey shot in the 5900 block of Minnesota. 29-year-old Melissa Moore died after being shot inside the Midtown Bar and Grill Saturday afternoon. 55-year-old man was also shot in that incident. He's in stable condition. Saturday night, an unidentified man found shot to death in the 3800 block of Eichelberger. Domestic dispute between a mother and a daughter ended with the 17-year-old being stabbed. That happened on Biddle. A 17-year-old male turned up at a hospital with a gunshot. He told police he'd been walking on Enright and West Bell when he heard gunfire and he had been shot. At least 4 more shootings were reported. A male victim at 14th and Chestnut was critically injured around 10:30 Sunday morning. Also Sunday, in less than 40 minutes in 2 different scenes, Riverview and River Trail Court, a man was shot and killed. On Roosevelt Place and Goodfellow, a man and woman were shot. The man did not survive. Now, that's all here in St. Louis. So there was nobody that walked into a grocery store, you know, and started clearing out bodies. But we had a very, very violent weekend here in St. Louis as well. Now, you would think that our congressional representatives from the city of St. Louis be all on top of this, right? Like Congresswoman Cori Bush. But you would be wrong, because she really just wants to talk about abortion. She doesn't want to talk about kids dying in her district.
Today we're here to say there is nothing just about an extremist far-right Supreme Court determined to oppress us.
Yep.
There is nothing just about an extremist far-right Supreme Court that further perpetuates harm against black and brown bodies.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can, well, I think I just did. I was going to say, I can tell you about some harm to black and brown bodies, and I just explained a pretty good list of things that happened to black and brown bodies, including a couple of kids, 16-year-old kid who was shot dead. So five people dead here in St. Louis, and she wants to talk about this.
The issue is we have justices that don't believe in justice. Yeah! And justice, remember, means for every person, all meaning all.
I don't know. She's losing me, but we'll get into that a little bit more. It's just sad what's happening, and you know, you can kind of see this coming because it was a piece of human debris with a manifesto that had racial animus that decided to target people. And now all of the focus again is on white supremacy in this country because of this one idiot who does something terribly violent, which I think is horrific. But on the other hand, we have things, as I just highlighted, that are happening every single day in this community. So as we move on here this afternoon, a bunch of things to cover. I mentioned Josh Hammer's coming up from Newsweek here in a couple of minutes. Andy Puzner from the Second Vote Value Investments, Inc. He, of course, was a nominee for the Trump administration. Cusimano, State Rep. Mary Elizabeth Coleman this afternoon. They wrapped up the legislative session. What did they actually accomplish? The question is somewhat rhetorical because I think the answer is not much. Also, former Cardinals pitcher Kyle MacLachlan, I saw this before it happened with Albert last night. He sat down, did a podcast with Albert, and I'm sure Kyle's going to have something to say on his pitching performance, plus an audio cut of the day and a whole lot more this afternoon. Hey, we have Sue's News with Sue next hour. That's something very different. We even had, you know, we had to skip it a couple of days last week because I was out too, and we just kind of went by the wayside, Sue. So hopefully we're going to be back on track this afternoon. Josh Hammer is back with us this afternoon. He's the opinion editor for Newsweek magazine, wrote a piece that caught my attention for The Spectator on the Alito opinion and Roe v. Wade. Josh, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Always a pleasure to be back with you.
So you said that, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You praise this decision if, in fact, it holds, but you also say that this can be described, your word here is normie. What does that mean? Because your opinion is maybe it should go further, right?
Yeah, so look, I don't want to sell the Justice Alito opinion short, and I appreciate, obviously, that you're caveating that, as I did in my essay, by saying that we need to see this through and make sure that it holds. And I think pro-lifers throughout the country at this time really should be focused on praying that Justice Kavanaugh, Barrett in particular, you know, have the courage and the fortitude to see this thing through amidst this just completely unprecedented chain of events that we're currently experiencing right now with the leak and the protest and all that. But yes, look, so the Alito opinion, this is so long overdue, of course. In 1992, in Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the court had an opportunity to overturn their handiwork from 19 years prior in Roe versus Wade. They declined to do so. They doubled down. And the resulting framework has not worked. The issue has only become more divisive, more fraught. Obviously, since Roe versus Wade, we've lost 63 million unborn children, just a horrific statistic to even contemplate. But, you know, in this essay, what I was thinking here was, look, if you go back to the 1850s and 1860s, you think about Lincoln versus Douglas in particular in 1858 on the debate stump in Illinois when they were running for that Senate seat. Lincoln appealed time and time again to the inescapable moral and biological truth that the black man is a human being deserving of all rights. And what Stephen Douglas said over and over again was that it should be up to the will of the people. Popular sovereignty in the Western territories was what he said at the time. But in the pro-life debate, we have a lot of people on the right of center side who sound a lot like Stephen Douglas, who just say it should be states' rights, states' rights, states' rights. I don't think that's good enough. I think it's a good first step, overturning it back to the states. But in the long run, we need to have abortion banned nationally, the same way that slavery was.
Is that, you know, by the way, not that I disagree with you on that, but is that a realistic approach given the time that we're in right now?
So given current constraints, given the current composition of the court, given the briefs that they read and all that, I do not fault them in the least for the opinion that it looks like we probably are more likely than not to get, meaning, of course, the leaked opinion from Justice Alito. The opinion is a good one. I really do not want to sell it short. I mean, he basically says in this opinion what originalists, constitutional conservatives, have generally said for 30, 40 years. I mean, this is what Justice Scalia said over and over and over and again. Justice Thomas has, you know, for his measure, written something very similar many times, which is that the Constitution is, quote unquote, silent on the issue of abortion. Therefore, it is a states' rights issue. That's kind of the standard original take. I guess what I'm trying to do here is to try to lay the groundwork for a potential kind of Overton window shift and a change in legal thinking on this issue such that we might be able to effectuate something maybe 5, 10, 15 years down the line. This is it's a mid to long term play. It's not kind of an overnight kind of thing.
But if it's a mid to long term play, and this is where, you know, I kind of separate from where policy is, just because I tend to believe I'm a political realist. So if you have a majority of the opinion in this country right now where most people think that Roe v. Wade maybe shouldn't be overturned, or it depends how the question is asked, that, you know, some abortion on demand should be allowed, but very limited. We also see the polling shows that we overall, 60% of the people don't want this to be on demand or past the first trimester. So how do you get to a point? Now, obviously, this is a different question if it comes to the Constitution and what a court might decide, where you have abortion that is banned in all 50 states across the country. That would seem completely out of step where the majority of the country is. Not that that should be how legal cases and cases before the court are decided, but obviously that does play a role.
So it does play a role. Look, I mean, I just cited Lincoln. I mean, Lincoln himself also said that public sentiment, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, he said public sentiment is kind of the be-all, end-all of public policy in this country. You know, without public sentiment, nothing can succeed, and with public sentiment, nothing can fail. So I do think, you know, I was talking there, you know, mid to long term, 15, 20 years down the line or whatnot, over the next 5 to 10 years, pro-lifers should be engaged in kind of the state legislature by state legislature, kind of, you know, fight the bills, lobby, work the hands, you know, try to convince people in the marketplace of ideas. That should be kind of our short term goal. But in the long term here, you know, especially we do have to work to change hearts and minds and better align that public sentiment. But the other thing that I'll say here, Mark, I think there's been a long running debate, not just on the right side of the political aisle, but kind of just across the entire spectrum, as to whether law or culture is upstream of the other. Right. So the late, great Andrew Breitbart famously said that in order to change politics, you have to change culture, that politics is downstream of culture. I've never been fully convinced of that, actually. I think that's half right. To me, politics and culture is kind of a two-way arrow where they actually can directly affect one another. And there are lots of recent examples of it working the other direction, in fact. So I kind of look back to Obergefell versus Hodges, the 2015 case of the Supreme Court that constitutionalized same-sex marriage under the 14th Amendment. After that was constitutionalized and removed from the democratic process where no one could kind of vote up or down on it or vote on it in a referendum booth, the polling on that dramatically changed and it escalated in favor of same-sex marriage. And I think kind of the law had something to do with that. So law is not just reactive. It can also be a shaper or sculptor, I think, of public sentiment. So that's the other half of this equation. But yes, to get back to what you said, I mean, we do need to work to change that public sentiment without which Lincoln said nothing can succeed, of course.
And how do you do that with changing hearts and minds? This is an issue for me. You know, I did a monologue on this a couple of weeks ago when, you know, the leak came out, because I saw, you probably maybe even saw some friends that were posting things on Facebook and elsewhere. And there was one that sort of went viral that was, I think, a pasting clip where a friend of mine in particular said, I'm for Emily and I'm for, you know, Janet. And they listed all these women with scenarios that might be difficult when it comes to getting pregnant, whether they're young or there was a rape or incest or things along those lines. Now, my tact was to kind of go in the opposite direction. It was to say, wait a second here. I was born in 1965 before Roe v. Wade, and certainly could have been someone who might have been a victim of that. I had a brother who was born with hydrocephalus before 1973. So there are different aspects of this. And I've always been quite stunned of the callousness on the arguments on the other side. But I guess I bring it up, Josh, because, look, I can understand the arguments on the other side, not to justify all of them, but it doesn't seem like many people on the left ever really want to give any kind of thought to how callous their position on some of this is. Do you notice that?
I think that's very well said. Look, I mean, I understand why the other side thinks what they understand, too. I mean, human beings ultimately are products of the culture in which they were raised and the formative experiences they have had. I'm a relatively young guy. I graduated college in 2011. I mean, I kind of was there in college, kind of at the height of quote unquote hookup culture, where people were just randomly having romantic affairs, sexual affairs, and sometimes you wake up the next morning and something happens, right? So, I mean, I have seen before my eyes kind of the culture that results in the mentality such that someone could view abortion as kind of a form of de facto birth control, even
right.
though,
yeah.
You know, even though everyone knows that it really is no such thing. But the other side has no comprehension whatsoever, by and large, of what we stand for. I think back to when I was in law school, I went to this kind of reading seminar group that the pro-choice or pro-abortion, I should say, student group was hosting. And at the time, it was this book. This is 2015, I think, was the year it was written by Catherine Pollitt, I think was the name of the author. And the title of the book was Shout Your Abortion. It's this notion that this is nothing whatsoever in any way different from a kidney transplant or clipping a toenail or nothing like that. To them, they have deluded themselves into thinking this is a routine, quote-unquote, medical procedure. It's just healthcare. And they just fail to look at the ultrasound images. They fail to read kind of an embryology 101 piece of literature or a casebook or a textbook. They just have made no effort, it seems like, to grapple with the fact, and it really is a fact at this point, biologists are totally in unison on this, that life begins at fertilization. A new DNA code is formed at fertilization. Now, if they want to argue to us that a new DNA code does not deserve legal protection for that fact alone, I guess that's an argument to be had, but they're not even willing to grapple with or engage on those terms, it seems like.
What's your reaction? I saw this a couple of weeks ago, too. Just, you know, you had a lot of hot takes after this thing gets leaked out to the cluster of cells argument, in the sense that I thought Annie Fry, who does our midday show right before me, had a good reaction to this as well. But I'm curious about your reaction, that we don't, for example, Josh, mourn the millions of miscarried babies, things along those lines. Did you see any of those arguments?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that. I mean, look, I mean, I think a lot of us know personally people, of course, who have lost children to miscarriages. It's just so tragic. I mean, a situation like this is always a tragedy. But, if it is a tragedy when a woman loses her unborn child to a miscarriage, then by the same token, obviously, it should be a tragedy if she willfully decides to terminate it in the womb.
Yeah.
You just can't have it both ways. I mean, I think back to English common law. I mean, really, you could actually go back further than English common law. You could go back to the Bible. I mean, I'm Jewish, so like what we would call the Torah, what our Christian friends would call the Old Testament, there is ample legal data points in there that criminalize that feticide, where if you kind of accidentally, let alone intentionally, terminate a pregnant woman's unborn child, there are legal consequences for that, literally going back to the Old Testament, to the Bible itself. So, I mean, we have been able to readily intuit that this is a wrong act of one degree or another for a very, very, very long time now. Yeah, I think the miscarriage example really does kind of just drive that point home.
Are you surprised, because I am, I really am, that we're 2 weeks in now and we don't have the leaker?
I'm actually, frankly, shocked.
Yeah, I am too.
I really thought we would know by the end of that leak. I mean, the leak came on a Monday night. Because the sample size here is just not very big. There's 37 law clerks. There's 9 justices. So it's probably 46 people. I mean, realistically speaking, of that 46 sample size, you can probably just, you know, you can eliminate more than half of them. So realistically speaking, here we're talking about like 12 law clerks.
Right.
I mean, like the four each from the 3 justices. I mean, a reasonably competent investigation would have been able to get to the bottom of this by now. I mean, I was at dinner actually just last night with a friend of mine who clerked on the Supreme Court, and we were talking about this a little bit. I think it's entirely plausible that they know who it is at this point, but they're just not revealing it. If it's not that, then the only two other possibilities are just rank incompetence, the likes of which I would almost have difficulty attributing to the marshal of the Supreme Court and whoever else he or she is using. Or on the other hand, the final possibility here, and this is the more nefarious possibility, but something that I actually flagged since day one, is the possibility that this actually came from a justice, perhaps even Sonia Sotomayor herself, in which case the court would have more reason to try to hide it. So
yeah.
I think that's possible. I'm not saying it's likely, but I really do think it's possible.
I think it's possible as well. Look, I appreciate you coming on. Always great insight. Josh Hammer from Newsweek, the opinion editor. I appreciate you coming on this afternoon, Josh. Have a great week.
You too. Thanks.
He mentioned the protests. This is something else I'm shocked at, that it's very difficult for anyone in the administration, Jen Psaki, who's gone now. So, you know, that happened since you left. Jen Psaki has left the White House, of
Interesting.
Course.
Interesting.
But you have the protests that continue to go on at the home of Sam Alito and some of the other justices, and apparently an unwillingness to criticize him. Bill Maher over the weekend wasn't afraid to do that.
She said, I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest, but we do.
Yeah, I think we do.
It's wrong. It's intimidation. It's against the law. I mean, look, it's not terribly violent, obviously, but would you want this outside your house?
No, of course not. Even Dick Durbin was critical. Chuck Schumer was not critical last week, but even Dick Durbin from Illinois, on the rare occasion that I had to agree with him, was condemning those protests, which apparently continue to go on. 342. 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Reardon on a Monday afternoon. Hang in there. I just asked Sue this question just as a point of reference because I will tell you that the whole baby formula thing caught me off guard last week. I was probably recovering on Tuesday from COVID, and Jeannie from Pet Supplies Plus texted me and said, hey, do you know anybody that needs baby formula? My sister's coming up from Florida. I'm like, what are you talking about? I was still sort of in COVID fog.
Yeah, I get that.
And I had no idea what she was talking about because it was a story that was building. And then she said, well, Annie was talking about it on 97.1 because Annie has the need for a baby formula.
Yes.
And it was one of those stories that built throughout the week. Now, some of this, Sue, did you follow this when you were in Florida?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, okay. So now what we know is that some of this is supply chain in general, but there was a plant in Michigan that produced baby formula and they had some violations and they had to shut it down. Now, Scott Gottlieb was on Face the Nation yesterday talking about this and basically saying, look, we probably should, this is what you hear all the time, probably should have done something before this.
FDA didn't exert all the oversight that they could have of that facility. The agency had a 34-page whistleblower report in hand making pretty serious allegations that there was data falsification and information withheld from inspectors. So these should have prompted more aggressive action earlier.
Yeah, so a 34-page whistleblower report making those allegations, they didn't apparently pursue them earlier. Abbott Nutrition is the largest producer of baby formula in the entire country. They had to recall several brands of powdered baby formula in February. Four babies were hospitalized with bacterial infections after consuming products from that plant in Sturgis, Michigan.
Oof.
They closed the facility. Two of the babies died, by the way. So once the FDA gives them the okay to begin production again after they, you know, clear out the hygiene violations, it could take 2 months before any new product reaches the store shelves, which that's quite stunning.
Holy cow.
Right? Now, I think when I have Andy Puzder on this afternoon, I think he's got some recommendations because there are some things where maybe we can make some exceptions with importing baby formula. But think about that. I mean, I'm not too far removed from that with the 7-year-old. Think about having difficulty in trying to figure out what you're going to feed your baby once you start or stop breastfeeding. And by the way, some people have been
scary.
Pretty callous about that as well, saying, hey, you know, breastfeed when it's not exactly the way that it works where you know, I'm not, well, maybe I should be more familiar with the female anatomy considering that I could easily have female anatomy at any point if I choose, but I'm not as familiar with it.
Well,
as
you know what
others.
This means? People will sell more on, they'll sell breast milk on, eBay and all those kinds of places.
That was already something that was starting to take
right.
off, wasn't it?
Yeah, and so that's just going to make that, it's just going to go gangbusters.
Okay, now, if you, I understand the need for that, and maybe I guess I understand people selling it, but would that be something as a mother that you would trust moving forward, that I have
no
to go to the black
way.
Market, essentially?
No
and
way.
Get breast milk?
No way, but if, you know, if you're in a serious situation, maybe you would.
Right.
Maybe I'm just suspicious.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think maybe you're right, because if you got to get the formula, if your baby needs to eat, who would have thought? You think about the situation that we're in right now in this country. You got gas. I had somebody send me, now granted, this is somebody that has the ability to pay for this, but it is what it is still. Ford Raptor, 100, and let me see what the total is. It was like $160
What's
bucks or something.
Ford
like that.
Raptor? Is that a
big
giant
fancy
truck?
It's a big fancy truck. $147.78 for 31 gallons. Now that's a big gas tank, right? 31, almost 32 gallons. Nearly $150. Now that was, just to put it into perspective, that was, I think, under $100. Certainly was under $100 a year ago.
Wow.
Probably even less than that.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
That's some sticker shock right there.
It is. I've even thought about doing that in the morning. I thought, well, shoot, I can work from home in the morning if I need. I mean, that's the kind of thoughts that go through your head when it jumps this high.
You know, I've long been in a situation, this is very fortunate. So I remember when I would get gas and gas prices would spike and they'd be high like this. And then I don't know if there's ever any common sense to doing this, but it's just what your brain tells you to do. You go to the gas pump, you say, oh, man, I'm only going to put in $15.
Right.
I think sometimes you do that because you think the price is going to go down in a couple of days and then I can save some money. But think about doing that now if you're not going to get very far. First of all, you put the $15-$20 in, that might get you halfway to work and back, but not the rest of it. So I really, I told this story a couple of times, Sue, when I came back from the Derby, I noticed something just with a bunch of big trucks in Indiana where I had stopped. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what people are really going to focus on. They can't afford to, you know, fill up their gas tanks. And if they can't afford to do that, they can't afford to put food on the table, to take vacations, to do whatever else.
Oh, it's a
might
big
be coming
deal.
Down. It's a huge deal.
And everything we get comes on a truck, which is diesel. I mean, it's wow.
Well,
it's a vicious circle.
It is a vicious circle because then what's happening is that all those transportation costs are being folded into the price of the product, which the price of the product is going up. The size of the product is going down.
Yep.
Right? We know that.
A cereal box.
So what's the end game? I have no idea. But Andy Puzzer is going to weigh in on this a little bit later this afternoon. He, of course, used to be the CEO of CKE Restaurants and spent much time here in St. Louis. He's now the chairman of the Second Vote Value Investments Group and a senior fellow at the American First Policy Institute. We also have the triumphant return of Sue's News with Sue this afternoon, which
triumphant.
Is somewhat historic given the nature of what happened last week. Cusimano's coming up in the next hour. State Rep. Mary Elizabeth Coleman wrapping up the legislative session. And then former Cardinals pitcher Kyle McClellan's going to weigh in on Albert's pitching performance. He also did a two-part podcast with Albert, his former teammate. So Kyle will weigh in on that a little later this afternoon, plus an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.